بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. باب توقير العلماء والكبار وأهل الفضل وتقديمهم على غيرهم ورفع مجالسهم وإظهار مرتبتهم. الحمد لله, this is the chapter on honoring the ulama, the scholars, والكبار, the elders, and the people of goodness, giving them preference over others, elevating their seating places and acknowledging their rank and status. And yesterday we did the chapter concerning showing honor to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we did the virtues. And in there we mentioned two narrations. One was of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, where he mentioned that we should honor the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And before that, a lengthy narration of those three people who went to Zayd bin Arqam. And I mentioned that this was Arqam radiallahu ta'ala, Zayd the son of Arqam, in whose house that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have his gatherings initially. But this is not that Arqam, this is another Zayd bin Arqam, this is of Medina. And in this narration also we did the importance of following the Quran and also respecting and honoring the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allama Nawawi rahmatullahi alaihi has brought this chapter where we are taught to honor those of knowledge, our elderly people in society. They are people of fadl and goodness. And also, how do we honor them? We give them preference over others. We elevate their places of sitting and we acknowledge their rank and status. In this is brought a verse of the Quran which is very famous. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah Ta'ala says, can those with knowledge be equal to those who do not have knowledge? Only those who possess intelligence will ponder over the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here is referring to people of knowledge. Of course, is that alim who practices upon his deen, he has true sound knowledge and he makes amal on the sharia. And this is the alim that Allah Ta'ala refers to, who ponders over Allah Ta'ala's greatness. وعن أبي مسعود أقبة بن عمر البدري الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أم القوم أقرأهم لكتاب الله فإن كانوا في القراءة سواء فأعلمهم بالسنة فإن كانوا في السنة سواء فأقدمهم هجرة فإن كانوا في الهجرة سواء فأقدمهم سنا ولا يؤمن الرجل رجل في سلطانه ولا يقعد في بيته على تكرمته إلا بإذنه. رواه مسلم. وفي رواية له فأقدمهم سلما بدل سنا أي إسلاما. وفي رواية لأم القوم أقرأهم لكتاب الله وأقدمهم قراءة فإن كانت قراءتهم سواء فيأمهم أقدمهم هجرة فإن كانوا في الهجرة سواء فليأمهم أكبرهم سنا. In this hadith Rasulullah says that who has the right to be the imam? He says that person who recites the Quran the best. In other words, he has full knowledge of the rules of qiraat, tajweed, he understands the Arabic language and he recites correctly, then he should be the imam. And if all of them are equal in as far as recitation is concerned, they are all masters in tajweed and qiraat, then that person who is most knowledgeable in sunnah, in other words, he knows, he's got knowledge of Quran and sunnah. Ulama and the Aima have a difference of opinion. Some of them say the person who has got the most knowledgeable in Sharia, he gets the first preference, and then the person who is most knowledgeable as far as Qira'ah is concerned. Nonetheless, in this particular riwayat, the person who recites the Quran the best, he should go forward. If all of them are equal in this, then though that person who has the most understanding of the Sunnah, he should go forward. If all of them are equally in knowledge with the Quran and Sunnah, then the one who made hijrat first, of course this refers to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Sahaba left from Makkah to Medina, those who made hijrat immediately on the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were given preference over those who delayed in making the hijrah. فَإِنْ كَانُوا فِي الْهِجْرَةِ سَوَانَ. So you got the person who is, there are people who are equal in knowledge, equal in recitation, and equal in hijrah, they all made hijrah at the same time. Then the person who is the most elderly, فَأَقْدَمُهُمْ سِنًّا, the elderly, he should become the imam. And then in the next narration, Instead of the word sinnan, the word silman came. In other words, the person who accepted Islam first. The one who accepted Islam first, he gets preference. And then Rasulullah says that a person should not become the imam of another person fi sultanihi, in his kingdom. In other words, in his place of authority. If a person has got a place of authority, you go to his place and you should not be the imam. He has the first preference. And a person should not sit in any person's house in his place of honor. Many times you go to visit some person. There's a certain sofa, a certain chair where it is sort of understood that this is the place of this particular elderly person of the house or the owner of the house. So we should not sit in that place unless that person commands us and he insists that we should sit there. That's his place of honor and we do not have permission to sit there. So in this particular hadith we can see that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing or giving honor that you to be the imam, then you should be a person who understands the Quran and Sunnah. And then he explained the if those people are all who are in the congregation equal, then he has given the different preferences thereafter. وعنه رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يمسح مناكبنا في الصلاة ويقول استووا ولا تختلفوا فتختلف قلوبكم ليلني منكم أولو الأحلام والنهى ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم رواه مسلم. In this particular hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that he used to pass his hand over our shoulders in salah. In other words, he would straighten us in our salah, in our saf. So before the namaz would commence, before salah would commence, there were times when Rasulullah would walk in the rows and he would put the sahaba in line. If any person was jetting out, he would very gently put him in line. And then he would say, istawu, straighten your safs. وَلَا تَخْتَلِفُوا. There shouldn't be no unevenness. People shouldn't be jutting out of line. Everybody should be in a straight line. Lest your hearts begin to have dispute amongst yourselves. In other words, if we are not going to stand straight in ourselves, then the result of this will be, we will differ, our hearts will differ. There will be disunity amongst us. Imagine, simple thing. Rasulullah is showing us, if you want unity in your hearts, then your safs in salat, there must be discipline, the safs will be straight. If your safs in your rows in your salat is not straight, then this will cause disunity amongst the heart. Then Rasul says, لِيَلِنِي مِنْكُمْ أُولُّ الْأَحْلَامِ وَالنُّهَى. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is imam. And therefore he says, that those who are most mature and those who are most intelligent, in other words, those who know the masail of salat, in the event the imam's wuzu breaks or he has to terminate his salat for whatever reason, and the next person, then he will pull forward, then that person should be able to continue the salah. He must be a person of knowledge. He must be a person who has the ability to perform salat. He should be standing behind the imam. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. And then the remaining, then the rest, people, then those next to them, and then next to them. In other words, as far as knowledge is concerned, and far as maturity and intelligence is concerned. So again, in this hadith, we understand that the importance of making our safs right, the importance of having discipline, and this creates, being our safs straight, makes creates unity in our hearts. And also, those who understand the laws of masail of salah, they should stand behind the imam immediately, then the others. And the next hadith, وَعَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ لِيَلِنِي مِنْكُمْ أُولُّ الْأَحْلَامِ وَالنُّهَى ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثَلَاثًا وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَهَيْشَاتِ الْأَسْوَاقِ رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمْ. In this hadith, very similar, Rasul says that those who are mature and intelligent, أُولُّ الْأَحْلَامِ وَالنُّهَى, those who are mature and intelligent should remain close to me, then those who are next in rank. He said this three times, and then Rasul said that save yourselves from the disturbance of the marketplaces, from the noise of the marketplaces. In other words, the marketplace is not somewhere, a place which is ideal for a Muslim person to be. Yes, of course, if he is now, he's got a shop there, he's got a stall there, there's a different matter. But unnecessarily, we shouldn't just mingle around such places and just waste our time in the marketplaces, in the pavilions. Why? Because there are a lot of evils associated in those places. First of all, this intermingling of sexes. Sometimes, many times it's music, and there's so many things that are going to make us become consumed by the love of this world. If a person has a zarurat, a need, he goes, he purchases his, whatever he requires to purchase. Absolutely nothing wrong to go there, to do your shopping, to do your errands. But a person should not be spending much of his time in such places, because Rasulullah said that save yourself from the disturbance of and the noise of the marketplaces. People are fighting, people are quarreling, they're using vulgar language. This is not a place where a believer should be. And therefore, in another hadith, Rasulullah has mentioned that a person should be in the masjid. These are the best place in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat, because in the hadith it's mentioned, the worst of places in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the marketplaces. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.